Towns Reel 14. You were on leave, we were discussing your leave, that you got a month's leave and arriving back in England, and you said the reception was quite something. How did you find England after so, and your own family and area after being away for so long?
It's strange. But the relaxation amongst the British people, amongst the family British people, a lot of relaxation. I mean, and the soldiers, was, any Army, Navy, Air Force, soldier was treated very well. There was nothing in Newcastle. I met my wife and nothing in Newcastle in October. So I went to work. I had a Nappy dance above Burton's shop in Newcastle, and I went there one night. My wife was in the ATS, she was stationed in Newcastle, and she did a dance that night, and we got on quite well, and I was with her nearly I was with her most of my leave, so I left, man. She sent me to the station on the way back to Austria, but let's just know, I went back. I used to play a dance band in Newcastle before I went aboard. People remember the Oxford Galleries in Newcastle, and a band called Peter Field. Well, Peter Field and I played for him in 1938. So I went in the Army in 1939 at the Oxford Galleries. I met lots of people from the Rider World, from Newcastle, and I didn't know. And as I say, when I came back on the leave, I paid a visit to the Oxford. And I had done a couple of days. In the dance band there, I went back. But as I said, I was semi-cold, I met the wife at the same time. So we could both here and dancing. So the month's holiday went over very quickly to finish. And I was back again on the boat ready for Austria.
Had you got your campaign medals up by this time? Had they been issued to you?
No, they hadn't been issued.
Not so much the medals, but the ribbons.
The only ribbons. Some of the people who get the MM during the big gun, they had received theirs. But I got mine all my working with the Army before the Army.
What, whilst we're on the subject, what was the attitude towards the giving out of medals like the MM and so forth within the units themselves, amongst the men? Because there must have been many men who did similar acts but got nothing.
Well, there was a platoon sergeant with me who got the MM, Bill Hudson. And I was corporal together in England, and he was in another company in the civilian time of their life. And he got the MM. I still don't know how he got the MM yet. Yeah, I mean, what he got it for, but I don't know how he received it. I don't think there was any celebration done.
Was there any envy amongst men who didn't get medals, but those that did,
it couldn't help but, I mean, there's a lot of people doing various things and they won't even mention. And the NCOs that I knew they should have medals, but didn't get them. I mean, we all don't want to share. Sometime or other, when you're so close to enemy, somebody there's something that's there. I know that for a fact. I might have done something else, they might have got a medal, but I wasn't noticed at the time. I've been in the patrols, I've been shut up, I've been nearly taken prisoner by a squadron, standing up, but at the same time, you don't displease anybody getting a medal. They must have done something like that. And I knew two or three of my battalion getting medals. I said, Bill Hudson, and there was a chap from Stuart comes to the reunion, though he was yet. I forget his name, but chap Stuart comes to the reunion, he's got a medal. And another couple, one was killed, and had a medal. But I said, I don't hear any tumults for it.
Mentioned in dispatches again was another recognition of something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, mentioned dispatches was when you've done something, and it was a very brave thing, but it involved too much of a. You've done this for them, and you didn't do too much. I think the military medal was awarded when you were allowed to get killed, you know, or your son of the town, or your unit was going to get killed. But there's quite a few that have got to mention dispatches as well.
When you got back to the battalion, where was it?
When I got back to the battalion, it was in Wilhelm again.
So you missed the time that it was in Vienna doing occupation duties. Mm-hmm. What were you doing in Wilhelm? This must have been getting on for December now.
Well, as I said, when I got to Wilhelm, I went back into the van again. And we were starting to do all these planes from different places. And as I said just before, that I was playing at a place called, I think it was Leibniz or Leibniz. And it was a perfect tournament. It was for the RE engineers dance or something like that. But on the way back, I had an accident. And what they call it, and I had the doctor that I had to keep off any regimental duties, which was nice. So I put it in one hand. And they just put me in charge of the sergeant's mess. And from then, I was in the sergeant's mess till we packed up the road.
What are your memories of Christmas 1945?
It was, we had the, I think it was the time of the Christmas, you know, the usual bits of seeing some and whatnot, different things together, and some of the troops with a little bit extra different things amongst that.
Every Christmas dinner, and the usual the army Christmas dinner. Did you put on parties for the natives, the population?
Oh, yes, we had a couple of shows and dances for them. But I think myself and Nappy had some extra rations, actually rations of different things for the troops and the battalion.
Did you put anything on for the children of the villages or towns?
Well, we should put it in different things on the Chicago and different leadership in different companies, we put it in different things on the kids. And then we had a big church there, church of England, and we had a chaplain there. We used to put on different names for the kids, and that about 9 years in the morning.
Was church parade still a weekly event for you?
Oh yes, every week, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, different nominations and different churches and whatnot.
And were those where the army had set up a church, or were they into the actual town church or villages?
The actual church were in the villages. They had their different nominations. And one church was used for the CAVs, and maybe another little church was used for the Catholic Liturgy like that. But there was a lot of Catholic churches, but a lot of people, and then was Catholic, so the Catholic were all service for you see. The only one that didn't really get much was the atheists didn't go to church, or something like that. And the Methodists, they should sometimes, I think most of the Methodists, you're in the same race, and that is the same church, but there wasn't any Methodists there.
What was the standard of turnout that was being demanded of you now? You're a peacetime occupation force.
Oh, you still had to be, you had to turn out some more, you had to go more slowly, you know. So, I mean, as I'm getting up, the rules and regulations are the same. You go up and do your ablutions, you're in your PT, you're in your rooms, most of the soldiers are in rooms, at different buildings and whatnot. And then you're in your rooms, you may have to train, and you're still in your drill, and different things like that. If it's a soldier, get goes, well, you who are distributed from different companies, you see. And through the day, if you're doing anything, you see, I was very smart and dressed. Even to the night time, you didn't have to go about sort of slumming and dressing with you. Someone from other councils were again. Oh no, it was still disciplined all the way through.
And where were you accommodated in the various townships that you were in?
Well, there's nearly all the schools and different big houses that have been there. And it's different things, you know.
Requisitioned houses. Yeah. But not barns and things like that.
Oh no. I mean even some of the companies had maybe two platoons stationed outside of the town. And some farms had these big places. But not barns, but basically where the largest thing was come in May, you see. So not quite normal over the number of days. There was never any troops after us sitting in barns or anything. I think it was all, everything was pretty happy. I mean, really with this old good disagreement, we're getting picked for different days for home, for the monthly, you know, you all catch it. I should go before him and he should go before me. And yeah, I go through a medical inspection before he went.
Before he went on leave?
There's one or two of the lads, the lads being very, very naughty. One or two of the soldiers who didn't get that leave because when America went to America, they weren't first day they got to America.
Plus this VD.
VD, and I always remember one night, I was in my company where I was on duty as the medical center had been, Marshall McMorsick. You know, she got 200 salaries, different jobs, at the Marshall level. The MO called in, he said, I want this, it was Lance Corbett, he said, I want this Lance Corbett taken back there from me, and I'm putting a charge. He said, he had lice. And I gave the word, he had crabs. There's no thing amongst the soldiers and these crabs that were reading about that. They had crabs, they had them badly. He didn't go back, he went straight back to the cells without a report to the police, and he went straight back to the cells. He put him in the cells, and he said, he said, we'll cancel until well after he was punished for it. I don't know how he went on because I lost interest after that. Yeah, you know, I was only one day. I knew he was in the prison jail, like, but for a soldier getting that safe stay there, he was a total of the family. I think he was taken out of the family for that.
Was VD a problem amongst the troops?
It was a problem. I mean, excuse me. If a bloke had VD and it couldn't be cured by the M war, I mean, yeah, penicillin was a famous cure after that. When penicillin first came in, it was a direct cure. But my experience of VD in England and other places, some of the troops I had come in contact with, troops and whatnot. They were given tablets, of course, the tablets, but I didn't know anything going on with it, but you know, they were actually, it was a good VD, they were putting 16 months CV, they were putting the charge.
It was a punishment case, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, when I was in Toronto, I went for a combo across to Greece, they sent me as a sergeant into a hospital to learn about the VD. Mm. They said, well, I can go. I said, yes. To go there, so when I went back to the battalion in Greece, I'll be able to tell them.
I think we've got this already on the tape. Yeah,
that's when I came in VD.
Was there a lot of liaisons with Austrian girls?
Oh, yes, there were. I mean, it was natural for that. I mean, I was going to be with the. And there was one or two of the lads getting VD in the villages. I don't know what village, I know. I can remember one lad was in my platoon. It's got to be. Very good in Villain, I don't know what he had when he was in Villain. Of course, he was sent back to Graz.
But you're saying this wasn't a rife, it wasn't heavy.
Just the old ones, you know.
Did it cause problems? did it cause problems with British soldiers, with Austrian girls and Austrian young men, and particularly those coming back from the wars and finding that they were linked up with a British soldier? Did it cause any problems?
We were asked by the Austrian girls. I was in Mexico with a great family. The mother and a daughter and their two men and one of them grown kids. The father, he went to one of the war of New Zealand when he was young. They had been taken as far as I knew, I hadn't heard from him over a year. They knew where he's dead or what. And they asked me whether I would try and find out something. So I started negotiations to try and find words. They were so nice to people to us. I mean, I didn't take any offence against the women and kids. That wasn't me at all. I mean, most of the British troops in the jury residents love kids and whatnot. So anyway, I tried my best. I went through the usual channels. And they actually got a message back that they had advice from a prisoner of war camp. And thanks for helping. That they hoped he would come home. Yeah, so we hadn't turned up home by then. But I was still friends with that family toilet. It was just one of them types of things you get there.
But he still hadn't turned up when you left?
He was on his way back. Or what? But yeah, he'd probably be in a prisoner of war camp somewhere in. Not in England, he wasn't in England, he was in a foreign country somewhere.
With the war over and time passing, were the Austrian people around you begin to show signs of wanting you away?
No, I didn't. All they wanted was that the family to be back with them and had soldiers and sons and brothers and mother. They wanted them back. And didn't matter whether they come back or not, they were very pleased to have us there. And so any sort of people that sort of shoot any pressure against you, anything.
Animosity gets towards you.
No. The odd one was still Austrian to play through and through. It was all right with you, but they still wanted Australia and Austria and whatnot. That's just the odd one you've got to. Put on a hold, we were going through this.
What was the usual excuse or things they were saying to you about their involvement on the German side? Were they making out that they hadn't wanted to be, or what have you?
The majority of all said I didn't want to be. Mm. I mean, even when I've been in Austria since the war, they were still said in the hotel that they didn't like the Germans in the hotel. They were there. After the war, when they were against the Germans, and they were to blame for all the trouble. So I don't think that happened at all, you know, and they were just pleased to get the men pulled back.
They must have had a pretty tough time with the end of the war and after the war finished itself, because was food supplies poor? was there a What were their food supplies like? Well, you know, what kind of food were they eating at that time?
They were very well done in food when we got there. We knew that for a fact because after the fact, I know that most of our troops was given food. Was given food to help them out. And of course, there again, in the big town, the city, they started getting acclimatized and the food supplies were better and better. And before we left Austria itself, I think they were back, partly back to normal for food, so, you know, for tools or tools, whatever, different things. But, I can't say that they were used to getting a little bit, because there was a lot of crime when we left. Not because some of the women had boyfriends, they're not there now, but even the people were kids, all the families of kids, were older, they were marched out, but went out. I believe it was to get the boat.
You said there was a lot of crime. What do you mean? There was a lot of civilian crime?
Oh, yes. There were crime because we were going, you know.
Oh, crying, sorry. I thought you said crime. Crying. This is when you were disbanded.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
When you heard that you were disbanded, what was your reaction to that?
Well, I'll tell you my reaction was, I wonder where the hell I'm going now, what's happened, how long I'm going to be before we're demobbed, exactly like that. They said demob was on the way, they were trying to get demobbed and make it good. Well, maybe in the army soon. I said, surely I'll live for too long. I was really one of a lot thought the same thing, mind. But then we heard that some of the troops were going to the battalion, some of the ones, and I think the ones that were due for repatriation for the next few months. Was going to be transferred to the 1st Battalion. And that's what I think it was, because quite a lot of the lads that I knew went to the battalion from there. Where they went, I don't know. But we're separated.
And where did you go?
I went to the 1st Battalion in Zante, in Slovenia. That's where I finished up. Right on the top of the hill, where I could see Tilly on a clear day. Zante, that's the place where you were.
And this would presumably be early 1946.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing up there?
As a matter of fact, I haven't a clue what we're doing. But just doing all the drills and whatnot, this, that, and the other. We're sending little groups about the different places there, from John, different things, they got different places. And the folks that I was there, just over a month, 5 or 6 weeks, because I left there, I was involved in May, and I think I left there about 15 or 18 or something. So then, yeah.
The 1st Battalion would in itself be losing a lot of its experienced men, but were National Service men begin to come into the battalion at this point?
Yeah, well, they were getting service men from different other battalions as well, but not National Service men as direct, such as from most of the 6th Battalion, they were getting experienced men.
They were coming in from other battalions?
Some that were going back into repatriated, but the others still had a few years to do, and I think myself, that they had the... they were saying people whether they want to stop in the process for 2 years, which I don't think many didn't serve there, but I think myself, there's quite a few of them just went in the battalion that I got two more. That was official.
Had you any, were you encouraged to sign on as a regular at all?
I was inclined to. 3 times, even when I came, when I got me two more. To go back with Nancy Ewan and different places, you know. Going to tell the battalion and go to Nanstucket and the old hometown whatnot. But I'd had enough after I had a good bit leave. I want to get some more to start getting more so that
so you you're with the 1st Battalion for just a brief while, mm-hmm. and then came home on to be demobbed.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Did you fly home or?
Yeah, we all came back the boat again. We all went down from Zante to Salonika. And the two sergeants, we were Sergeant Morris and Sergeant Lewin. The chap, Lewin, I still come in contact with him, and yet he's still, okay, he hasn't been up for a while, but he's still alive. I don't know where war came from, he's a little bit there. But we were in Salonika for about 3 days, and got boats. Trained and boats and trained so fast again, and we came back up over the channel, and we'll finish up with Winchester. What was the big, can I think of the big thing in England, the big army place?
Aldershot?
Aldershot. Yeah, I couldn't remember him there.
Before we come to that, I should have asked you, were you in Salonika long enough to form an opinion about the Greeks?
No. Well, no, because we had, well, known about the Greeks and
I should been to Greece, of course.
They were quite nice to us, again. They were wondering what we were there for. Normally, I kind of, and it's short to them, it's good friends, and then most of that, they're good friends again, they're not people there. And let's say we had the little band, but we had the sergeant mess, you obviously had a zoo zone and invite dignities in different places amongst different people, you see. That was, it just more so kept us fully fit and trained, kind of thing. Anything else?
When you got to Aldershot, what happened to you then?
Well, we got to Aldershot, we went to Aldershot, was there for 3 days. We got checked in, all different things, all these papers and all different things. We were there for about 3 days. And then you had to go and get yourself kitted out. And they had you, must you wash yourself in. I should tell you before this, when I left Wilden, I had a portmanteau full of stuff that was pinched on board the ship going to Greece. Some certain man amongst the battalion of the DLI had a new bottle dress in, a run off a cave, new bottle dress, a stack of cigarettes in that I saved up because I didn't smoke at the time then. And different things got to take home from the demo. And the whole poor man was pinched. And the company commander RSM and all the first of them were very good, they searched all over the place and asked different questions. We found out who it was. It was a sergeant. Yeah, I left the battalion by the time we were working on it. I never ever come across. I think I've come across him twice in the whole of the since I left the service. That's what the idea was.
Do you remember his name?
I remember his name, but I wouldn't give it. No, I wouldn't give it. And I spoke to him, I kept saying the thing, he said, I can't understand how why I didn't it, why it took my, you know. And the mom was about to have the moonstripes so sewn on properly. It's a real Canadian battle, a smashing, like a silly battle was. I had different types of clothes, army clothes and city clothes and peasants for everything. And I must have had 4,000 cigarettes and tins of what I was saying. But never mind, I'll give you a bit more time. Let's hear a few more things before I have. But that was only the thing I ever did to make a bit more time than I ever tell
you. You were demobbed from Aldershot itself?
Yeah.
What's the process of being demobbed?
Well, it's a bit strange to tell, but the first day we got there, we didn't get there and we got massive. Better day and got the groups and stacks more than what I said there. It was hundreds and hundreds of people there. And the next day we went to a lot of send papers and things like that, checking up our army records and things like that. And on the third day, on the second day, on the afternoon, we went to a kit, getting a city kit. The shirts, your trousers, and we had to pick one or three suits, three different types of suits, all city suits. Fortunately, I picked a mother, a lovely green suit. I always remember I picked a lovely green suit, a pork pie hat, and I wore trilby label and different shirts and what they had, you know, shoes and all that. I always remember the first thing that came, after I put me, you put your clothes on the one table again, you turn them up the center, and somebody pinched me hat, and left theirs. And by the time I got home, my hat was half a size too small for me, so this and that thing, that was nothing left. As I say, I got a really good suit. They were surprised as soon as that. It was a burnt tailor suit. Most of them couldn't get suits to fit them with that, but it was a pinch type suit, a grey suit, and it was a actually brown suit. But as I said, it was quite nice the stuff we got. I wouldn't say it wasn't top class, but it was good, top class to come out of the army. Somewhere. It was a clear attack to save the life then. But then we left Aldershot and there.
And outside some of the demob centres, there were. It was wide boys trying to persuade people.
More so at the stations. When you went out of the short space, there was always a few. You want to sell your
clothing.
Right. And anything you want to get rid of, you know, most of the stories, when all the stories tell them what to do, like, you know, that I fought hard for this, I was living late for this, then you would be spitting all of it. They get a tail wagon up and you'll tell them off. But,
had you a medical before you left?
Oh yes, yeah. You had a medical when you got there, and then a medical when you left.
And were you still A1, in spite of your wounds?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It was a long time, I should have came from the wounds, I didn't. It must be the battle I should have came from, but that I used it when I started back when I was 2 years. I'm not one of these fellows that they should go back and start training.
So you don't receive any pensions for... what about your pay and your money? What was the situation there?
I should get this thing up for you. They told me what it is to tell you what you are a good soldier. Yeah, a reference of some kind. Tell you what sort of soldier it was and everything. I've been an army so-and-so, I'm the NCO, I've led platoons and all this, but I've been in battles, I've been wounded, different things. And different paraphernalia about it, you see. And then they give you how many days leave you had. If they went to how many days leave you had, and they make you make to come back in the army if you wanted to, or go to some of the units, whatever it is, but they had that month to leave before you want to do anything, you know. I don't know why they give you because you're still you weren't going to go straight back to work after doing all that time. I mean, I've been away 6.5 years, 6 years. I wasn't going to go straight to work after the hill. I was going to have a bit of a holder. But no, at the left here, and they give you a payment. I always remember the credits, they give you a credit, so they give you what you're entitled to in the army. I always remember, I think I got away £130. I thought it was a lady, £130. And I was going to get. Much a week, I forget that, what's much a week. I get about £2 a week, or £1.50 a week. All the time I was on that leave, you know, some days. All the time I was on that leave, I was going to get that every week. So, in them days, even if Tom was worth a lot of money, I wasn't able to do that. I'd come up that week and I got £130. I kicked myself off, be worth it, but you know, that
well, how much demob leave did you get?
I think I got about 6 weeks. As I say, I forgot before you came, I was going to get them out and show you the exact.
And you say you made use of that 6 weeks. You didn't go straight for a job.
No. I sort of went on to a place I had worked before, looking for a job, arranging for a job. And before I went in the army, I was working at the Coal Works. And I went back. Of course. Coal Works was very good time I was in the army. Every month, every 2 months, I got a food parcel with money with postal there. Even when I was abroad, I should get them. I'd say sometimes, some of them went to Australia, you know, but when I got them, it was always summer again. The fellas at the Coal Works used to, all the lads that went in the army, they still sent them back. So it was very, very good, and, you know. So I went straight back to. That's only 6 weeks ago. I went back and got a job at the Coal Works.
Did you settle down well? Did you in civil life?
Well, I was a bit topsy turvy. I mean, I went before we started. The time I was on the hill, I went back in the dandy van to make a few. I said, well, at least I can make a few. Great. And it was so time, came 6 and 7 8 a week and whatnot. I said, I'll get myself a job at the Coal Works. So I went back to the Coal Works. In between the Coal Works and the dandy van, I sort of. And then I went back to train for the ball. I went to the ball for Ashenden. You know, I was in the league. I was a good team. So I couldn't.